Welcome back to the Dealmakers Podcast Show with serial entrepreneur Alejandro Cremades, best-selling author of The Art of Startup Fundraising and co-founder at Panthera Advisors. In this podcast, we ask our guests about their successful acquisitions and financing rounds.
Alrighty, hello everyone, and welcome to the Dealmaker Show. So today we have a really amazing founder joining us. You know, we're going to be talking about the way, you know, the experience ultimately is going to shape you up as a founder. Also thinking about prior, perhaps corporate jobs and initiatives that you can take on to be able to form you better to as a founder, to shape your lens, your perspective on business, as well as the exit process and also going about building, scaling, and financing. In their case, they've raised over $350 million on the equity side and then also $50 million on the debt side. We'll talk about both as well. But again, you know, brace yourself for a very inspiring conversation. So without further ado, let's welcome our guest today, Mika Gruber. Welcome to the show.
Thanks very much for having me. Hello, Alejandro.
So originally born and raised in Hamburg, give us a walk through memory lane. I know that you traveled quite a bit all over the world, but how was life growing up for you?
Yeah, so I grew up in Hamburg, Germany, which is Germany's second largest city, in a pretty standard middle-class environment and fairly international background, as you mentioned. Traveled pretty early on. My dad actually grew up in India and had a lot of connections to the US, both friends and family. So we'd always visit early on. And that piqued my interest in sort of international travel and also spending some time abroad, which ended up leading me to the US for an exchange year in high school and then ultimately to college in the Northeast of the US. And I think that sort of shaped the way that I think about the world, taught me to adapt to new environments, building communities around new environments, and so on. And I think it's prepared me well for the challenges that you encounter in business as well.
How do you think that helped you? You know, going to new places, meeting new people, new friends, dealing with uncertainty, especially at an early phase in your life. I'm sure that was quite the lesson.
Oh, for sure. I mean, I have this little sign in my office now, looking at it right now, actually, that says life begins at the end of your comfort zone. And I know it's a bit of a cliche saying, I guess, but it really rings true to me because it's easy to say, but it's very difficult to truly act on that. And I think having these early experiences as, you know, a 15, 16 year old traveling half across the world, not knowing anyone, really having to sort out, you know, how this new culture, how this new environment works, and really going beyond that sort of comfortable life that I knew before, has helped me overcome any sort of self-doubt and challenging myself to try new things and seeing also, I think, what that does to you both on a personal growth level, but also how it helps you to push your limits and know what you're capable of, has been really valuable in my experience early on.
So for you, you ended up going to high school in the US, you did college too, but then you went back to Hamburg to get a degree. And then after this, you got into investment banking. I mean, investment banking is quite a good, it's a really good way to understand how businesses work, you know, how to differentiate the good from the bad. How do you think that helped you with perhaps understanding, you know, and preparing yourself for what you're doing today?
I think the great thing about working in investment banking is that you learn about a ton of businesses in a very, very fast-paced environment. You need to handle multiple deals at the same time. You need to be able to digest a ton of information very quickly and getting brought up to speed in totally different business models across a variety of sectors and always taking the different lenses of different stakeholders. And I think adopting that, understanding what drives each stakeholder, and then of course providing the best advice to your client, has helped me understand a new set of information very quickly, and also has allowed me to understand what you need to do in order to scale a business of your own successfully, because I've seen it in so many different variations and different versions. And I think that's a super valuable exercise to do for anyone really starting their career.
So in your case, the next chapter was to be able to work with your, basically with your uncle. And that was more in the hospitality sector. That was your first getting your feet wet when it came to becoming an operator. How was that experience? Also working with family too.
So what I decided after a few years was that I really wanted to have a deeper look into a company, not just from that transactional period, which of course is a very narrow window of a company's history and what a company is made up of. And I had the opportunity to join my uncle's business, which was really in its starting phase at that point as well. And it has taught me a ton about building things from the ground up with more or less nothing. And of course, it has made me appreciate surrounding yourself with the right people. And this can be family, can also not be family, right? But I think more importantly, you need to surround yourself with the right people that understand you and know, you know, who has which strength and how they complement each other. I think is a super valuable lesson. And doing that with someone that I was very familiar with on a private level certainly helped facilitate that. But all in all, that is sort of served the foundation for a super important premise for me, which has always been, it is on the one hand a luxury, but it's also a necessity for me to surround myself with people that I actually enjoy spending time with and build businesses with them is much more important than other elements, let's say commercially or so on, because ultimately you spend such a large time of your life with them building a particular project or a business. You want to make sure that you actually enjoy that process, right?
Now, in your case, the next chapter was a SaaS company and then Cap Insight. On both, you were able to experience what the full cycle is from, you know, starting point to like exit, especially in the last one, you know, which was a digital exit, given the circumstances, now with COVID and all of that. So how was it different from what you had experienced with your uncle? And how was that, you know, experiencing also the exit process with those two companies?
So I would say that lesson that I just described really transcended into those jobs as well, even though I didn't know the people as well prior to starting. But ultimately, I've been fortunate enough that I found people that, you know, appreciate the way that I think businesses should be built, and they appreciated my knowledge of certain things in the finance sector and in the, you know, administrative side of things. And that has helped, especially in such a turbulent episode of an exit where you really need to, I mean, you spend 12, 14, 16 hour days and you need to trust each other blindly. You need to know how to interact, especially in negotiation situations and so on. And I think that really fuses people together around that one sort of culmination event that's happening in the exit case. And I think that has also served as the foundation of what we're doing now with 1.5, is that we, especially one of my co-founders who I've worked with at Cap Inside, we've gotten to know each other so well throughout that exit period, and we know exactly what each other's strengths are. We read each other blindly, so, and know how to use that in any sort of situation. And I think that has been a phenomenal experience to have. It was super intense, especially with the Cap Inside exit, which happened at the first height of the COVID wave. So everything was fully digital. And, you know, we had one live session at the end for final negotiations, but that was it. So I think that was, also really valuable experience to manage that in a fully digital session.
How was that? Because, I mean, at that point, people needed the face-to-face, the typical acquisition process is like locking yourself in a room, in a conference room in a hotel and just getting everything done. I mean, having that transformation of all of a sudden everything being digital and just being awkward at the beginning that everything is digital, even the toughest parts are digital. How was going through that?
Yeah, I mean, especially in Germany, which unfortunately is not the most digitalized country in the world, it was a pretty big change from, you know, these typical face-to-face meetings, not having so many online meetings at all, and yeah, doing all the DD sessions more or less online, doing model review sessions, doing, you know, the legal sessions, whatever, any kind of DD portion was all done digitally. And then, you know, as I said, very few face-to-face meetings. I think it was challenging, but in the end, also another great experience to show, you know, having ventured outside of what we knew and challenging yourself to try something in a different format has also shown that it's possible, and then it works really well that way as well. And I think that has shaped also the way that we like to work at 1.5, where it's a sort of middle ground of those two formats, where of course, because it's a very decentralized business, you have a lot of online presence and a lot of online meetings, but we also appreciate the value of having face-to-face meetings. And I think that has served as well, combining those two formats.
Hey guys, so pardon the interruption here. So I got to tell you that, you know, for those of you that are either looking to raise money or you're looking to get your company acquired, you don't have to be alone. You know, there's a lot of psychology that needs to be blended with strategy, with methodology, with process. And it's very hard. And already doing your business alone is super, super difficult. So I remember, you know, back then when I was an entrepreneur, I kept really experiencing the challenge of either knowing or finding the right type of access to the right type of investors, or really understanding what was the right type of guidance, you know, that would carry me through the process, whether it was with seeking money or with going through the acquisition. So that gap that I found being an entrepreneur is ultimately what pushed me later on when I met my co-founder at Pantera, Mike Severson, to really put together an advisory firm where we are guiding entrepreneurs and founding teams through the capital raising efforts, whether you are at a seed stage or at a Series A stage, or if you are going through the process of an acquisition and you are in small to mid-cap type of cycle. So again, you know, we would help you from guiding you and supporting you from A to C all the way to the end as an extension of your team. And there's no reason for you to do this alone. So with that being said, if you would like to find out more, feel free to send me an email at alejandro@panteraadvisors.com. And we would love to take a look at helping you out.
So how did you guys get going with 1.5? How did that happen?
Some of the basic premises and theses of that business as it is now, we discussed for quite some time, sort of at night or having a beer after work or so on. And it was driven by several aspects of previous engagements, primarily from Philip, who at his time at Zonin as a managing director realized the value of the last mile in the solar insulation space. And that was sort of the first piece of the puzzle, which I really resonated with, coming from sort of the transactional side of things, looking at a true buy and build case as a starting point in order to build an install base that will allow us to scale as quickly as possible to then produce the ultimate product, which is our Heartbeat AI platform. And I'll go into that a little bit more in detail later. But having discussed all this, thinking about, okay, when's the right time to truly start something on your own? And who are the people that you want to do it with? And of course, you never know that. But at the time, we just decided, okay, this seems to be the right thing to do. We had all the pieces together, or at least we thought at the time, had two other wonderful co-founders, and we just kind of took the plunge as you typically do, started working nights and weekends to hammer out a pitch deck, set up the company, and then you just get going. And this was in the middle of 2021. And I've been at it ever since for the last 3 years. And we grew the company to about $600 million in revenue in 75 locations across 7 markets now. So
that's impressive. So for the people that are listening to Get It, what ended up being the business model of 1.5? How do you guys make money?
Yeah, so 1.5 at its core is really a home electrification company, which provides our customers with a solution to electrify power, heat, and mobility, and thereby allows them to operate their home CO2 neutrally. And how do we do that? First, we, of course, provide them with the necessary hardware. So think solar panels, storage solutions, heat pumps. And then, and this is perhaps more important, is we provide them access to our technology platform, which is called Heartbeat AI. And this platform manages these hardware components intelligently and serves as the gateway to electricity markets, which then allows our customers to systematically procure the cleanest and cheapest energy at any given point in time. And so that's what we do in a nutshell.
So for you guys too, I mean, what ended up being that journey of going through the capital raising? Because you guys have raised equity on one end and then also debt on the other one. So how has it been really going through the motions for you all?
Sure. I mean, as always, fundraising is sort of the second job that you have on top of running a business. So it's always a huge project. And of course, the focus of the particular raises have changed. At the beginning, it's about getting a proof of concept on the acquisition side. And then, you know, it transcends into the proof of concept on the technology platform side and so on. But ultimately, our chairman always talks about the 3 T's, which is timing, topic, and team. And of course, the topic is super relevant. I think we don't need to spend too much time on that. The team, I think there's obviously, we have a great group of people together, but I think another huge factor of success is that the team needs to not only have that potential, but execute. Right. And that's a big difference. But if you execute, and we've had investors who have looked at our board recordings and they've found something that we said we would do in September and then looked at it in December of that year, and we'd executed exactly as we'd said we would. And that was sort of their main conviction point, where they're like, okay, these guys not only are promising the world, they're delivering as they say. And that, I think, factors into this portion of team as well. And then, of course, timing is always the case with the Russian invasion of Ukraine, which has caused this huge spike in energy prices, has certainly helped us accelerate the business to where it's at now. But again, those three components all need to come together, and that makes a good recipe for a successful fundraise.
And what about equity versus debt for a company like this? How do you think through that?
So we started with equity. That's what we're most familiar with, what makes sense to start. But ultimately, especially for the way that we grow quickly, especially internationally, is we acquire companies that install these products that we offer to our customers. And this is a typical buy and build roll up play that's more known in the private equity scene rather than the venture capital scene maybe. And that portion long term definitely makes sense to finance with a debt portion as well. Then of course, debt is a more rigorous and structured form of financing that a newer company that has just been founded doesn't necessarily receive so easily. And we've been fortunate enough, within just a year and a half of founding, we've been able to secure a first debt line to do that. And ultimately, we want to decouple sort of the inorganic growth section and funding the inorganic growth with further debt, and then also have an equity portion where we fund our investments into the technology platform and so on. So the way that we look at it is basically more traditional PE growth model with a tech heavy SaaS-like venture capital funded model, building a very exciting hybrid.
So obviously, when you have, you know, investors that are investing in you guys, you know, they're investing in the vision too, no? So, and I think that that's not only the investors, but then also the employees, potential customers. If you were to go to sleep tonight and you wake up in a world where the vision of 1.5 is fully realized, what does that world look like to you?
I would say every suitable building, not only in Europe, but throughout the world, is equipped with a solution such as ours, which essentially eliminate the need for fossil-fueled power production. And it also will systematically reduce the need to invest into grid infrastructure renovation, but also expansion, because the power is produced where it is needed, at the home or the factory, the warehouse, wherever it is. And if we can do that, we'll have a tremendous ecological impact that is also benefiting our customers economically by systematically having a cheaper price of power that they can procure based on their generator that they have on their very own roof.
So what about the, you know, if I was to put you into a time machine too, no? And let's say I bring you back in time, you know, maybe a couple of years, you know, ago, let's say around 2021, where you were starting to incubate the idea of getting going with 1.5. And let's say you have the opportunity of showing up and being able to have a conversation with that younger self, and you're able to give that younger self one piece of advice for launching a business. What would that be, and why, given what you know now?
I think it's about fully understanding the power that emotional intelligence wields over accomplishing your goals. Oftentimes, you know, ask yourself, is your response, your approach to a particular challenge that you have, is that driven by emotion or slash ego, or is this based on, you know, rational thought? And in 95% of the times, if it's driven by the former, then the outcome is probably going to be trickier and probably won't get you the effective result that you want in the long term. And I think that's a painful exercise that we try to do, basically checking our egos, and everybody has an ego at the door when we start talking about the business, and constantly challenging ourselves. Is this something that is driven by emotion, or is there a rational thought driving a particular argument? And I think that cannot be overstated enough, as hard as it is. But again, also a part of the exercise of constantly going outside of your comfort zone to become a better version of yourself.
And what about, you know, when we're thinking about learning here and becoming a better version of yourself, when you're in a company that is growing so fast, you also need to be developing yourself fast. So what have you, you know, what has been your experience, you know, and your journey through transforming yourself to keep up at the same speed as the growth of the company?
So I think a lot of it you learn as you go, especially if you scale so quickly. I think it would be naive to say that we've seen everything coming exactly that way. Obviously, we had a product strategy and a business plan, and the long-term goal is what we've envisioned, but having it play out in a particular way is just unrealistic to say that this is exactly what we had thought would happen. And what does that mean? You constantly adopt, and you also focus more about enabling teams around you, building teams around you that share your vision, share the way that you work, and that you are able to trust to take care of challenges, take care of projects. And I think that's the sort of ultimate satisfaction as well as a founder, but also as a company builder, is to enable teams to grow beyond what they thought was possible as well, because you're constantly experiencing that yourself and using that experience to scale and multiply within the teams that you've built around you is super important on the one hand. So we focus a lot on team building, and we're fortunate enough that we have a huge influx of highly talented people that want to work on this project with us. But of course, identifying the right people who not only have that sort of desire, but also a certain set of character to go beyond everyday work to make this a bigger and better version of what it was yesterday is the key. And I think that's the biggest learning experience is that multiplying what you have in yourself, basically in the teams around you, and using that to inspire them to work in a similar fashion.
And for the people that are listening, Mika, what is the best way for them to reach out and say hi?
Contact me on LinkedIn anytime. Happy to reach out.
Well, easy enough. Well, Mika, thank you so much for being on the Dealmaker Show today. It has been an absolute honor to have you with us.
Thank you so much. Have a good one.
If you like the show, make sure that you hit that subscribe button. If you could leave a review as well, that would be fantastic. And if you got any value, either from this episode or from the show itself, share it with a friend. Perhaps they also appreciate it. So also remember that if you need any help, whether it is with your fundraising efforts or with selling your business, you can reach me at alejandro@pantheraadvisors.com.
You've reached the end of another episode of the Dealmakers Podcast. For free resources and materials, head over to alejandrocremades.com. Thank you for listening, and see you at the next episode.